So now I would like to invite the comments, and maybe would you like to start?
While we are waiting for the presentation to be on, good morning, everybody. As I've been introduced, I'm Tao Sikida. I'm from Economic and Social Research Foundation in Tanzania. So first, I would like to commend the Swedish government for having this study and to see, you know, to link aid and poverty reduction in Tanzania. I can say human development has been at the center of our development agenda since the Tanzania gained independence until present. So I'm happy to give a very brief overview on the evaluation report on the impact of Swedish aid to poverty reduction in Tanzania. What I can say is that aid dependency has been a constant feature since we gained independence in 1961. But as we have seen, the character of this aid dependency did not remain stagnant. It has been changing over time. So when we analyze the ODA, it's important to look at the extent of such aid in terms of volume, that is a percentage share of aid in public expenditure, but also its character over time. I'll go very briefly on the key achievements. I won't like to repeat much because the presentation by Oliver has covered most of this. But it's important to know over the last 50 years, Tanzania has made tremendous progress, especially on the growth. We have seen that for the last two decades, Tanzania has experienced very high growth. And now, actually, the challenge is to link more the realization of this growth and human development, in particular poverty reduction in Tanzania. We have seen on health, life expectancy has improved tremendously, you know, over 18 years from 1960. Child mortality has declined. When we gained independence, it was around 244 against 1,000 live births, and now we are talking about around 40 for the infant, 43 for the infant mortality, and 67 to now going down, I think, to 48 for under five. Status of poverty, I would like to comment a little bit on this. Oliver also presented this. When you look at our national poverty line, you can see over the years we have been having a downward trend in reducing poverty, which is very positive. Our national poverty line now, HBS 2012, indicates the basic need poverty line is around 28%. But when you switch a little bit to use a bit of more adjusted poverty line, like 1.25 PPP or 2.5, you can see the poverty level, just shoot up. I think, as Oliver has just pointed out, majority of Tanzanians still live just along near the poverty line there. But now also, even at ESRIF, we have computed the multidimensional poverty index, which looks not only on the income approach of measuring poverty, but also on the deprivation aspects. And when you use the MPI, poverty levels in Tanzania are still high. The MPI for 2014 is around 64%, and it varies across different regions in Tanzania. So my comment here is, much as, you know, there have been a positive change in poverty reduction in Tanzania, but more efforts still need to be done to reduce even further, and especially when we move now towards more other methods of measuring poverty, especially the multidimensional poverty index. So this is in line when you use the income approach. We see over time there have been a decline of poverty, though our poverty dimension is still mainly rural focus, and there is a big improvement in major cities, especially in Dar es Salaam. Education outcomes in terms of enrollment, expansion at primary school level, and transition to school to secondary school have also improved. But now the concentration is more towards improvement of quality of that education that our children are receiving. I can say access to improved water sources. We haven't done so well on that. As you can see from 1990, 55% of the Tanzania had access to improved water sources, and the situation is only 53% in 2013. And sanitation, you know, we still have a milestone to go. Now we stand at 12%. So on water and sanitation, there is still more to do in that area. So I can say with all these achievements and the challenges that we still have, we can say we appreciate, you know, the contribution from ODA and the Swedish aid in particular. And we can really say Sweden is one of the countries which has played a profound role in supporting Tanzania. And we all know Sweden is one of the countries that actually adhere to 0.7 of its GNI to ODA. And this is well noted in the Tanzania development process. So coming now to the evaluation report. I have 5 minutes, and I think I'll make it for that. I would like to comment on the periodization. These are the periodization that have been presented in the report. I'll have a comment on the early expansion phase, which was this, as Oliver put it, is the Nyerere phase from 1962 to 82. We in this period, we did actually achieve a lot on social service provision in Tanzania, especially in education and health, but also on the early industrialization strategies in Tanzania. When you read the report further, especially this achievement during this phase was again followed by the crisis era. So there is an argument there in the report was all the achievement during this era actually was washed away during the crisis period. But to me, I think this period actually set the foundation and the benchmark for Tanzania development process. And even for now, as policymakers, we always go back and forth to learn from the past experience comes to provision of human development, but also industrialization, as now also Tanzania is embarking towards a comprehensive strategy of industrialization again. So I can say we learn a lot from this, and this achievement actually provides benchmark. The contraction and adjustment phase, what are we learning from here? We can say that you can see after the Swedish aid actually fluctuated here, but when there was an agreement with IMF, the ODA actually was at the highest level, but again, it went down again. So you can see there is a close relationship between, you know, the policy and the development framework and the support, the donor support. So you have to own and you have to have confidence on the development framework of the country. And then I would like to comment on the poverty reduction phase. I'm calling this the poverty reduction phase. This is from the 1996 to present. So here you could see there was a shift, a big shift from actually support towards investment for growth, but rather now this was the period whereas there was a support for growth, you know, for poverty reduction. And poverty reduction was at the center stage during this time. And this was actually the time after the HIPIC and then the PRSPs in Tanzania and then the poverty reduction strategies and so forth. And this is the period where also poverty has been closely monitored and a lot also has been happening to improve poverty measures in Tanzania. When you look at the funding during this time, you can see that also there have been a change. Initially, I can say past 10 years, there was donor funding was mainly channeled through the budget support, through the government system. But again, when you look at the data in the recent years, there is now towards again a shift into more direct project funding, and also a lot of players are coming up. So this also is a point of, we need to take note of that, as that, you know, we shouldn't shift towards so much away from the government ownership issue that we have been discussing and to lend to where Uganda actually is. You can see here I have... there is a reduction in the support to the GBS from 18.6% in 2007-08 to 6.6% to 2012-2013. So this is alarming, and I think here the main point that Oliver had pointed out initially in his presentation was that towards the end of Kikwete regime, you know, it was seen that he was a bit more softer on the corruption. So actually what I need to assure you now with the fifth phase government, there is a strong hold on fighting corruption in Tanzania. Also, you know, we have expenditure check of our public spending, but also increase of revenue generation through proper taxation system and tax reforms. So we are hoping that this is now on the way forward. Maybe we should also see the reversal trend of this. So my final remarks is what we can say is that there have been a significant economic growth over the last 15 years or so. More needs now to be worked to link this growth with human development. There have been significant poverty reduction over time, though still there is more to be done, especially on the measurement, and also the magnitude of poverty are still very high, though the trend has been at the decreasing. Increased volume of aid, but then of recent we have been also observing changing modality within different phases, but also recently towards more direct project funding rather than through channeling through the GBS, through the general budget support. And then lastly, we have also observed increased aid players over time with more preference towards the direct project support. So also there is aspects of coordination there and ownership. So this is all I have. I wish I had more time, but I think I've given the reflection justice. Thank you.
You're not alone in wishing you had more time, but I hope we can continue the discussion over lunch and when we move to the question phases afterwards too. Shell, happy to invite you to talk here as well.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I feel honored to be here. And I will try to make an historical overview with focus on the report, which is... focusing then on long-term development, actually 60 years of Tanzanian development and the cooperation between Sweden and Tanzania. I have more PowerPoints than I can discuss, so I will run and address the most important and hope that those with interest can have access to all of it. Briefly, these are the issues I would like to address in the presentation. The evaluation question, the method, it has already been taken up. Then more on the theory of change, the drivers of poverty reduction, which becomes important in the method. I would like to address also the purpose of aid, which I think needs to be dealt with. And I would also like to briefly address the alternative periodization of Tanzanian development phases, including politics. And also I try to offer a broader perspective on aid values, interests, and alliances. And then lastly, I try to say something about my contribution to a broader conclusion on why Tanzanian aid did not reach its primary aim. And the evaluation view on poverty in Tanzania goes like this. A fundamental point in this chapter is that poverty in Tanzania has primarily been a rural phenomenon. if substantial inroads to poverty reduction were to have been achieved, donors would have needed to respond to the circumstances of rural dwellers in Tanzania. So this is my focus, the rural areas where the majority of the people live and the majority of the poor people live. So then we have the evaluation questions that has already been presented, but I always would like to add these figures that Sweden provided $6 billion in bilateral aid to Tanzania since 1960. Tanzania received from 1960 to 2013 about $80 billion in development assistance. It's the seventh largest receiver in the world. When it comes to the results of the evaluation study, these are the results of the different time periods. And it's then looking at the Paris principles with yes, no, question mark, pressing needs, cognizance with development capacity, and then poverty reduction. And we will see that are a lot of yes and no's and question marks. I think a very important problem with this study is that the method requires more knowledge about country developments and politics than the budget of the evaluation allowed, including discussions in Tanzania, to avoid that the evaluation conclusions are at the margin. Because many of these, there is only a slight margin, some more arguments, and the conclusion could tilt. So I think there's a need for more, and specifically this issue that came up, the ownership of the study as well in Tanzania. There was no discussion with the ministry of representatives of the ministries in Tanzania. The evaluation conclusions, briefly, Swedish aid to Tanzania, fairly well respected recipient ownership. Swedish aid to Tanzania was directed to pressing needs, as has been shown. But the period 1983-96, the analysis is not convincing. Swedish aid has to a major extent been concerned about development capacity and acted upon it. And Swedish aid has marginally contributed to rural poverty reduction since 1997. There's a long period in Tanzania from the 1960s to the early 90s. We don't know the figures for poverty reduction, but there is a problem to measure, or maybe the evaluation question is difficult to address because Sweden did not address poverty reduction for the whole period in question. The theory of change, briefly, it was suggested 6 drivers of poverty reduction to understand how Swedish aid was driving poverty reduction. These drivers, there were 6 in number. I think that 3 of these are not very well chosen, and I suggest that there should be other drivers to help understand how Sweden drives poverty reduction. So the drivers should focus better on the potential for SIDA influence and addressing poverty reduction. And I think also here more knowledge is required in the study, more discussion with Tanzanian counterparts to identify better drivers that could give more substantial conclusions so they're not on the margin. I would just then like to address the issue of purpose of aid. I think the issue has been touched upon, but I would argue there are 2 purposes primarily. Is aid to help solve problems of poverty directly, or is aid to provide the recipient with a means, including dialogue on policy reform, by which they themselves can solve problems of poverty indirectly? In this second perspective, I will put emphasis then on the process around aid, which leads then to the issue of sustainability. And we can see that SIDA has shifted over time from project to program to macroeconomy, reform dialogue, now back to direct project aid. This process of shifting the focus to higher levels, to the indirect, I think that is very important and it's very constructive. And to be sustainable, I don't think it's going to be sustainable. For instance, like the suggestion for Uganda that 78% of the aid goes to NGOs goes around the state. I don't think that is a sustainable option in the longer run. And we can see here the projects that were chosen for analysis. I have tried to put them in two columns, one where it is focusing directly on poverty, the other one indirectly, how Sweden has addressed these two aspects of aid. I also discussed the evaluation phases, as has been done by my colleague here and by the in the presentation. And I think it's very important to discuss the periodization of Tanzania, because I think the periodization by the evaluation report does not capture very important developments in Tanzania. And I will argue that there needs to be more periods, and particularly I think there is a confusion about the period. We can see in the evaluation report as well, from 1967 to 1980, there is the Arusha Declaration and the emphasis on agriculture, ujamaa, self-reliance and industrialization. Industrialization was not part of the Arusha Declaration. The Arusha Declaration, I will argue, lasted only from 1967 to 72, with an emphasis on agriculture. And then the character of the Tanzanian state changed in an authoritarian direction. And this is when the industrialization strategy comes on the table. And this is linked to international global stagnation and the interest of donors also in promoting industrial development, having a market for the industries through development assistance. So this is not part of the Arusha Declaration, and there need to be a distinction. But the 70s is also the period of aid dependence, the war with Uganda, very well presented by the author, the crisis with IMF and the impasse. Tanzania had the longest conflict of any country that I know of with the IMF particularly, and impasse, where Tanzania did not accept the conditionality of the IMF. And then Tanzania had to accept the conditionality of the IMF. And 1986 to 1996, we have the structure adjustment program and Mwinyi. And we can see that this structure adjustment program is divided also in parts. And there was very little emphasis on poverty in the 1980s. Structure adjustment overlooked poverty. Poverty came back on the agenda. Actually, the Nordic countries pushed for the poverty agenda in the World Bank. And gradually the World Bank took up the poverty assessment and took poverty seriously first around in the mid-1990s. And then we have the Mwinyi, it has been mentioned, and then 96 onwards. So the poverty reduction in Tanzania and the growth and so on, it comes from 2000 onwards. We're talking about not a very long... Well, one third of the period that is in question. But what is one thing about Tanzanian growth? Tanzanian economic growth is not well connected to poverty reduction. And that has to do with the character of growth, because the growth is not very strongly linked to the rural development and agriculture. So reflection on the alternative periodization is required in order to integrate in the evaluation study the analysis of the dynamics of Tanzanian politics and its impact on development policies over time. And secondly, to take better account of external economic developments, globalization, and its influence, and how it affects Swedish aid modalities. So I will not deal with this. I just show you this. My suggestion for a broader perspective on aid values, interest, alliances in Tanzania with a focus on the rural areas. My argument here, and that I try to put forward, is that from 1962 until 1972 was a different period in Tanzania. It was a period of solidarity where the structure of the model, it had a social profile, and there was a big support from the Nordic countries in particular, because there was a consensus that this was a development model that had a social profile and was equal or was resembled our own model of social democracy. But from 1972, I will argue onwards. There has not been any emphasis. There's been a bias against smallholder agriculture, against the rural areas. And I think this is mentioned also by the authors in the report. And now what is coming in the last decade is a bias in favor of large-scale investments in Tanzania. In this second or this most recent phase, I will argue that what is happening is that the alliance with donors, the state, investors, and philanthropists is aiming for large-scale agro-investment, not just in Tanzania, but in many parts of Africa. That in this turn also, I will argue, the smallholders are being overlooked to the detriment of their strategies and the importance of reducing poverty. And also, I will argue, it's necessary for enhancing agricultural productivity. So why did Swedish aid not attain, I say, to rural poverty reduction objective? Because, as was said, in Dar es Salaam and the urban areas, poverty was reduced. The state-driven development, Swedish aid and globalization, overall was biased against the rural areas, where the majority of the people live, and including the majority of the poor. When Swedish aid reached rural areas, I'm linking to the case studies of the report, but also my own experience, it focused on the environment and organization rather than economic aspects and use of existing institutional structures, like in the village structure. And I will argue there's a need for more focus, or was a need for more focus on process and sustainability. Swedish aid was unable to influence the clientelism and informal institution. We're now talking about culture. It takes a long time or a lot of knowledge to relate to culture, influence culture. And I think what we see in Tanzania and in our relationships with Africa is that it's a meeting of different cultures, where there are problems of seeing the other, that often lead to mistrust. Now, my last one, I'd like to see, is Tanzania very particular in relation to other African countries? I don't think so. There is a problem with poverty in Africa in general. And if we look at general poverty in sub-Saharan Africa since 1990, now relating to when there is data and a global and regional perspective, we see that global poverty, it has now fallen, is likely to fall below 10%. Or the population in 2015, last year. There's been a rapid reduction in poverty, but not in Africa. The share of sub-Saharan poverty in the global poverty was 15% in 1990. In 2015, it's 50%. This is because the increasing share of African poverty is increasing. It's because the overall poverty in global context is being reduced. But Africa has a worse performance than other continents. But we see there is also an improvement in Africa. But the World Bank recent report says that poverty reduction in Africa is slowest in fragile countries, and rural areas remain much poorer. Let me lastly say that in terms of concluding on Tanzania beyond the poverty reduction, which I think is just one element, is that I think, from my experience and knowledge, that Tanzania under Nyerere was able to create a nation. I think Tanzania is the most nation in Africa, where the different groups could cooperate together, and they had one common language. So Tanzania has a political culture, and it has founded a nation which has the potential to give Tanzania conditions for improvements and national development in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jill, and thank you, Tosi, as well, for two very good perspectives on the study that we have commissioned.